Welcome to Panel Discussions, ECV's comic book podcast. Today we're not doing an interview. I'm Russ Burlingame, and today I'm going to be talking about Superman. Last week, a group of professional activists objected to the inclusion of a scene in Action Comics number 987, stirring up social media in one of the more ill-advised freakouts about a comic book story in recent memory. In the scene, which was widely reported on and reproduced across right-wing media like Breitbart and Fox News, an angry white man turns his gun on a group of unarmed and presumably undocumented immigrants after being laid off. Superman swoops in to save the immigrants, smashing the gunman's weapon and turning him over to the police, in whose care Superman leaves the would-be victims as well. In the context of an American president who made animosity towards immigrants his signature campaign position, this scene was taken by some to be either pro-immigrant or anti-Trump, stoking outrage by, well, all the people you would expect that kind of thing to outrage. There have been a lot of things these people utterly missed the boat on, and some of them tie into arguably my favorite moment in superhero films recently. And yes, it's from Batman v Superman. Deal with it. For context, I'm a sucker for moments. While the Boaz Yakin Punisher film was generally an unholy mess, there is a beat near the end that I still love to this day. After Frank's intransigence sends his partner onto a spiral, that partner's new partner... Sorry, folks, this isn't the kind of film where characters are developed enough that you remember their names. But the partner's new partner is trying to badger Frank into giving her a response that she wants. She asks him, "How long do you think someone can live after you've cut out their heart?" Frank grabs her, and he says, "A long time." That moment, even existing in the context of an utterly ridiculous film, redeems so much of Lundgren's approach to the Punisher for me. It explains a lot about where he's coming from, and it makes him a far more fully realized character than the rest of the movie would lead you to believe. So a small moment can radically improve a movie for me. It doesn't make a bad movie good, but I don't personally find Batman v Superman to be a bad movie, so that's kind of an aside in this case. So let's take it back to Superman. The splashy headline in The Hollywood Reporter that got a lot of attention for Action 987 called these immigrants undocumented workers right there in the title. Since that's what I figured would be the thing to make this a capital T thing, my own report rebutted this a little, suggesting that there was nothing in the text of the story to specifically indicate that they were in the country illegally. Ultimately, though, getting into the nuts and bolts of that discussion kind of misses the point. Why? Because it doesn't matter if they're undocumented. They're people. And Superman saves people. There's actually a really interesting conversation to be had about writer Dan Jurgens' deeply humane approach to Superman, so forgive me another minor digression, and I promise it all ties together. Prior to the quote-unquote immigrant issue, which, by the way, is not actually about immigration policy at all, and we will circle back to that soon, Jurgens wrote a story that was nominally about rewriting a bunch of Superman's recent history, but actually gave one of his longest-running villains a kind of heartbreaking twist. In Superman Reborn, which comes out on hardcover this week, Mr. Mxyzptlk kidnaps Superman's son, John, and what appears at face value to be a much higher stakes and darker version of the games Mxyzptlk has played with Superman over the years. Mr. Mxyzptlk, if you don't know, is an imp from the fifth dimension. He has godlike powers, knows that Superman exists inside of a comic book, and can't really be defeated in the conventional sense. He sets up little puzzles and contests for Superman to best him at, and by winning the game, Superman can send Mxy back home for a short time, but the imp will always return. And there's the rub. Superman's life was in a state of total upheaval when Mxy failed to return, because he'd been kidnapped and was being tortured by a mysterious villain called Mr. Oz, who has a kind of extra-dimensional prison thing. We'll get back to Mr. Oz in a minute. Eventually, the aforementioned Superman Reborn story teaches us that Mr. Mxyzptlk, after being kidnapped and while being tortured, always believed in Superman. He genuinely thought that Superman would come find him, and when Superman didn't, it broke Mxy's heart in a surprising way. Mxyzptlk said something along the lines of, you save everybody. I know, I've seen it. So many terrible people. What does that say about me? And the first time I read that scene, it was agonizing. Here's a character who's destructive in a lot of ways, but ultimately not evil. And his suffering was very understandable, and it was very real. That suffering, and the way that he was broken by his experience with Mr. Oz, was very much a pilot program for what the villain is doing in the current story, titled The Oz Effect. You see, this is not really a story about those immigrants. They are just one of a number of stories that converge when Superman is sent around the world trying to save people and animals from crimes and negligence that seem motivated by greed, hate, and laziness. In each of these cases, there's someone on hand, usually multiple someones, who is wearing a tattoo or brand bearing Mr. Oz's sigil. We've seen in past stories that these are his minions, usually down-in-their-luck people who do what he asks in exchange for food, money, whatever. Here, their objective seems to be simply to cause trouble. The reason makes some sense when you get to it. Here's where we'll break away from the comics and go back to the movies for a minute, so that I can provide some context into that moment that I talked about. In Batman v Superman, the hero finds himself facing off against Lex Luthor inside the creepy birthing matrix thing in the belly of the downed Kryptonian scout ship. Lex pontificates about having created Doomsday as the perfect weapon to kill Superman, but when Doomsday comes out of the chrysalis, the first thing he does is swing at his father, Lex. Superman, without missing a beat, speeds into action faster than the eye can move and save Lex's life. It's this act that begins his fatal battle with Doomsday. I've always thought that this scene spoke to a misconception about Zack Snyder's Superman. The idea that the Man of Steel Superman doesn't care about saving lives is the kind of thing you hear repeated on the internet a lot, but it's pretty self-evidently nonsense when you have to actually try to hold it up to scrutiny. Superman saves people. It's what he does. And whether it's the victim of a hate crime, or someone who's currently trying to kill Superman himself, Superman does not judge who gets to live or not. In 90% of action movies, even films that have a sense of lightness to them that they say Batman v Superman doesn't, Lex Luthor dies in that scene. Most action heroes do not swoop in to save the villain during the climactic battle. Superman does, because he's Superman. That's who he is. This philosophy is kind of covert in Snyder's admittedly dark and cynical films, but it's there. It's made overt in Patty Jenkins' Wonder Woman, in which the villain tells Diana, they in this case being humanity, don't deserve you. Diana replies with, it's not about deserve. This is a callback to something that Steve told her earlier, which is one of the reasons that I've seen some people try to make an argument that the film has a thread of anti-feminism baked subtly into it, and after all, our heroine gets the moral of the story from her boyfriend. That's a bit of a crock, though. It may not be a word-for-word callback to the beginning of the movie, but it's pretty clear that Diana has always felt the compulsion to help people and do the right thing. When she's leaving Themyscira to bring Steve back to man's world, she's told that once she makes that decision to leave, she can never return. Her response, who would I be if I stayed, is note perfect. And it asks the same question that a young Clark Kent asks his father in Man of Steel, albeit somewhat more clumsily. His father wants to protect him, because that's what parents do. They protect their child at all cost. And if it comes down to your child or the world can go hang. But the Kents raise Clark in such a way that he's fundamentally unable to accept taking primacy over others. Jonathan Kent may want to sacrifice others so that his son might live, but Clark would willingly sacrifice himself to save others. Eventually he does, and while Jonathan Kent doesn't live to see it, Clark's mother has to live with the fallout of that decision in the form of putting on his funeral at the end of Batman v Superman. So what does all of this have to do with the comics, and Mr. Oz, and the immigrants, and Mr. Mixer's Piddalick? Oh boy, am I glad you asked. While the immigration issue stole the spotlight because it was picked up by pundits and politicized, Action Comics 987 was originally supposed to be about something totally different. In the issue, after about 2 years of playing with the audience and Superman, Mr. Oz revealed his true nature and his true identity. Mr. Oz, according to Action Comics 987, is actually Jor-El, Superman's biological father, who has somehow survived the destruction of Krypton. He wants his son to see how petty and selfish and vulgar and violent humans are. He wants Superman to see that they don't deserve you. Saving the immigrants and preventing a one percenter's house from being torched and delivering vaccines to a clinic in an impoverished nation and working to mitigate the damage of an oil spill, these are all things that Superman faces in the issue. And as part one of a larger story, this issue forms the base upon which the story is built. It's about Superman saving people. This is his ethic, This is what he does, and this is who he is. And the story's conflict is about Mr. Oz challenging that ethic. Mr. Oz says, these people don't deserve you. Why does Mr. Oz do that? Well, because Mr. Oz is Jor-El, and Jor-El believes that he sent his son to the wrong planet. And he wants to protect his son, because that's what a father does. In an earlier story, Mr. Oz intercepted and trapped Doomsday. And in this issue, he steals a chunk of kryptonite. He secrets that away in the same weird chamber thing where he has the monster incapacitated. These are literally the only two things that have the capacity to kill his son. And he's removing them from the board. Fundamentally, then, this is a story that asks the question, if Jor-El can break Mr. Mixer's Piddalick's faith in Superman, can he also break Superman's faith in humanity? Can he make Superman believe that it really is about deserve? Can he overwrite the messages of Clark's adopted family and force Kal-El to accept primacy over humanity and allow himself to be protected in a way that would take him away from humanity? Of course, this is a rigged game. We know the answer. Jeff Johns, the chief creative officer at DC, briefly wrote Action Comics, and during one of his most popular stories, he told a tale set in the future with aliens, but which was obviously a coded story about white supremacy and fear of the other, which of course is embodied in today's politics by animosity towards immigrants, although this story was written close to 10 years ago. In the far future, someone has rewritten Superman's history so that, according to the textbooks, he was fully human, he was a champion of Earth and Earth only, and he was essentially a human supremacist. When he steps in to save a group of aliens being unfairly targeted by law enforcement, the police challenge him, saying Superman is for human rights. It's not difficult to imagine those sentiments coming out of Breitbart's and Fox News's of the world, bitter that Superman doesn't limit his heroism just to approved victims and to perpetrators that fit their chosen narratives. Superman's response is simple. It's beautiful, and it speaks volumes. I'm for everyone.